RadioArchives.com presents G-Men Strike Hard, An Adventure of Dan Fowler by Norman A. Daniels, read by Milton Bagby. In the days of J. Edgar Hoover's Untouchables, one lawman took on the super criminals even Elliot Ness couldn't touch. Dan Fowler, G-Man. The greatest FBI special agent of his generation, Fowler operated nationwide, hunting down spies, kidnappers, counterfeiters, murderers, and other dire threats to law and order beyond the jurisdiction of local authorities. Assisted by the youthful agent Larry Kindle and brave Sally Vane, Dan Fowler crushed crime with an infallible combination of scientific criminology and punishing Tommy gun lead. And now, Dan Fowler's thrilling adventure, G-Men Strike Hard. Chapter 1. The Lure to Danger. The men who handled the dark ingots, which looked something like bronze, were not the usual type of wharf laborers. Each man wore a heavy revolver at his hip and was watched by 8 submachine gun armed men as he loaded these ingots into the back of a trailer type truck. On first glance, the truck didn't look out of the ordinary, but a closer inspection would have revealed that its sides were made of thick steel, and its roof was invulnerable to anything but a direct hit from an aerial bomb. There were slits, cleverly concealed in the sides, from which machine guns could be thrust and fired with a maximum of efficiency. For those ingots, dark-appearing and rough to the touch, were pure gold from mines in the Ural Mountain regions of Russia. Gold bought by the United States in keeping with its monetary policies. This trailer truck would haul it to Fort Knox, where vaults were ready to receive the valuable metal. United States Marshal Henry Cody patrolled the end of the wharf, keeping his eyes open for any signs of trouble. The other guards were deputy U.S. Marshals, and every one of them knew how luring $1.5 million in gold might be to certain underworld gangs. Cody drew his coat closer around his bulky frame. The early morning air had a nip to it, and somehow Cody couldn't help repressing a shudder whenever he thought of what a concentrated attack might accomplish. It was true that he had 7 deputies, well-armed, ready to do battle, but 7 men against the numbers certain gangs could raise seemed puny. Cody recalled the warning which had come to him through the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. When the FBI saw fit to submit such warnings, the chances were that something would break loose.
"I know nothing has happened. Nothing even looks suspicious," Cody told one of his deputies. "But I've got a peculiar feeling."
"Bosh," the deputy scoffed. "We load secretly. The truck looks like a regular moving van, and it's built like an armored car. There will be 4 men inside, and we'll have a pilot car to travel ahead, while another rolls right behind the truck. It will take 100 men to heist this gold."
Cody nodded. The deputy was right. In the first place, how could anyone know that the gold had arrived? How could they know that this innocent trailer-type truck would be conveying it? And even if by some miracle they did know, how could they hope to seize the precious cargo? When the truck was finally loaded, 4 men climbed into the truck, and the big steel doors were closed and locked from inside. The cab of the truck backed into place, and the coupling pin was dropped into its socket. The 2 men in the cab were dressed in overalls and caps. The 2 submachine guns were well concealed. The glass parts of the cab were abnormally thick and bulletproofed. A fast sedan pulled ahead of the truck, and the procession started. Marshal Cody was in the car following the gold. They passed through the crowded streets of the great city without arousing the slightest attention, and Cody relaxed as they crossed one of the big bridges. The most dangerous part of the trip was in and about the heavily populated sections of a city.